The goal today is to use vertex algebras to construct interesting representations for extended affine Lie algebras. So since vertex algebras might not be completely familiar to everyone in the crowd, I'm going to spend a good portion of the talk today trying to give some sort of general sense of what are vertex algebras and why might we consider them when we're looking for representations for extended affine Lie algebras. So we'll start with loop algebras and affine Lie algebras, and just remember what Katz did a long time ago in this area. For the purposes of the talk, everything will be overstated. We construct a loop algebra by starting with a finite dimensional simple Lie algebra and a finite order automorphism. The automorphism there could be the trivial automorphism, in which case M is just 1. We fix the primitive mth root of unity. And then we look at this space, this eigenspace decomposition of the finite dimensional simple Lie algebra G. So this gives us a loop algebra here, which is the set of the fixed points relative to the extension of that finite order automorphism to just the tensor product of the finite Lie algebra with the Laurent polynomial. And the theorem of Victor Katz in 1969 was that every affine Lie algebra can be constructed from a loop algebra by just adding a central element and a derivation. So this might be the single most important fact about affine Lie algebras in terms of their applications to physics. This loop presentation is particularly amenable to the construction of the analogous objects in the category of vertex algebras. So what is a vertex algebra? A vertex algebra consists of three objects: a vector space, a vacuum vector, and vertex operators. So vertex operators are just linear maps from our vector space V, which is sort of the space of states on which these operators are acting. And it sends us to some endomorphism valued formal Laurent series in one variable z. And they satisfy two axioms called vacuum and locality. Neither of these axioms is very complicated, but it's also not terribly revealing, so I won't reveal what they are here. Some of you might be familiar with having a few more axioms and a few more gadgets on there. In fact, this translation operator, which is the one that you most often see there that I have notably missing here, is a consequence of the other axioms. It's forced what it is, and you can leave it out if you want a minimalist presentation. Since we're interested in representations of Lie algebras, the natural way to get vertex algebras is via something called vertex Lie algebras. So here again, my terminology differs slightly from terminology of other authors. So what I call vertex Lie algebras here is in the sense of Dong Li Mason and not in the sense of Frankel Ben Svi, if you're more familiar with their book. Although the two are equivalent. So a vertex Lie algebra is a Lie algebra in this sense, where you have some family of formal Laurent series, which are called fields, and the moments of the field, which are the coefficients of these this formal variable, the powers of this formal variable z, are simply a basis for the Lie algebra. Well, not quite a basis, but they span the Lie algebra. And then the commutation relation between these fields actually tells you exactly how the commutation relation take place within the Lie algebra itself. And they satisfy certain vertex operator-like conditions. So an example of this is the affine Lie algebra. So this is the affine Lie algebra, the commutator subalgebra, the affine Lie algebra, if you like the derivation on there. And the fields would just be these. This would be the commutation relation between the fields, where that delta is just the formal Laurent series of all possible powers of what's in the parentheses there. This commutation relation down here is essentially the so-called locality axiom of vertex algebras. The reason why we consider these vertex Lie algebras is that if we have a vertex Lie algebra, then we can build a vertex algebra out of them. So if we have a vertex Lie algebra, we can split this Lie algebra into two pieces, G minus and G plus. So where G minus and G plus are just the coefficients of the sort of the opposite piece of the formal Laurent series. So the plus piece is the coefficients of the negative powers of Z, and the minus piece is the coefficient of the positive powers of Z. The theorem of Dong, Lie, and Mason is that if you have a vertex Lie algebra, there is this nice canonical construction here called the universal enveloping vertex algebra, which allows us to build a vertex algebra out of a vertex Lie algebra. So in the case of affine Lie algebras, the modules for this vertex algebra here, the enveloping vertex algebra, are actually the same as the so-called smooth modules of the affine Lie algebra. And so smooth just means that for sufficiently high powers of n, on any given little m living within the module, the action is just zero. So in terms of those fields, what this means is that you only have finitely many negative powers of z occurring. When z, the power of z becomes sufficiently far in the negative direction, then its coefficient ends up killing a given vector. Okay, so now we'd like to see exactly how this corresponds in the case of extended affine Lie algebras. So yesterday we heard two or three talks in which extended affine Lie algebras played a very prominent role. Marie Beltocon told us something of the definition of extended affine Lie algebras. The key points to remember are that they're multivariable generalizations of the affine Lie algebras. They have a non-degenerate symmetric bilinear form, and they have some notion of type corresponding to the finite irreducible root system. So we can write them in this form here. So it looks a little different than how I think Georgia Benkard in her talk wrote this without a C there. But all I've done here is I've just split the central terms from the derivation terms there to avoid confusion with some of my later slides. So you can write them that way, and then there's this thing, this A plus B piece here, which is known as the coordinate algebra of the extended affine Lie algebra. There's a classification of the coordinate algebras of the extended affine Lie algebras. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
So this is the array. What is the core?
The core of the extended affine Lie algebra would just be this piece here. So it includes the central extension, and it doesn't include derivations. So I've taken in the notation of Allison, Benkard, and Gao, and also the notation that Georgia Benkard used in her talk, I've taken her D, and I've split her D into two pieces here. So some of these pieces are the derivations that act trivially on this piece right here. Those are the ones that commute with everything in here. And then the other ones are the ones that actually act non-trivially on those. So the D are the ones that act non-trivially. Those are the derivations. And the C are the pieces that were central prior to adding the derivations. Okay. So there is a classification of the cores, or excuse me, of the coordinate algebras for the extended affine Lie algebras. So they come in various flavors according to the root system type of the extended affine Lie algebra. I should mention for the Jordan theory people in the audience that this classification made serious use of non-associative algebra techniques. This involved also including Zelmanoff's prime structure theorems for the type A1 at least.
BC1 is already complete.
BC1 I have completed, yeah. But I have the wrong reference there?
Not incomplete, by FY.
FY. So I have the wrong reference. Is that correct?
It's okay, this is an old. I mean, not completed by...
Oh, this is BC2. So BC2 is completed or BC1? BC1.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said Allison and Yoji, but I have the references wrong. Is that...
Incomplete.
Oh, it's not complete. Okay. 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 I apologize for the inaccuracy there. So an example of the extended affine Lie algebras are the so-called toroidal Lie algebras. So a toroidal Lie algebra is really the analog of the loop algebra. So you start out with Laurent polynomials in a finite dimensional simple Lie algebra. You take their tensor product and you define a Lie bracket in a natural way. This, in order to get more interesting representation theory for this object, you add a central extension. So the biggest central extension you can stick on, the universal central extension, is parameterized by the space of Kähler differentials modulo exact forms on the associative algebra, the coordinate algebra for it. So your multiplication becomes something like this. But you can't stop there because extended affine Lie algebras have to have a non-degenerate bilinear form. So we have to add some derivations to this in order to get a bilinear form that's non-degenerate on the space. So it turns out in the work of Erhard Neher that the derivations that we would add to this universal central extension are exactly the so-called skew centroidal derivations of the associative algebra A. And these are also the division divergence zero vector fields on the n plus one torus. So now, what vertex algebra should correspond to the toroidal Lie algebras? So here's our toroidal extended affine Lie algebra, where we add our skew derivations to our universal central extension. The natural thing to do would be to try to say that, well, the toroidal extended affine Lie algebra is a vertex algebra somehow, is a vertex Lie algebra somehow, and then say that, well, since it's a vertex Lie algebra, now we can take the universal enveloping vertex Lie algebra, and we have a vertex algebra structure. But unfortunately, it's not a vertex Lie algebra. So we have to enlarge it a little bit. So instead of taking the skew centroidal derivations, we take all the centroidal derivations. So the cost of this is that we don't have an extended affine Lie algebra anymore, but the benefit of this is now we have the vertex Lie algebra, and later on, anything we do with the representations, we can just restrict down to that that extended affine Lie algebra that lives within there, if that's our object of principal interest. We can also make this a little bit more interesting by twisting the multiplication, the bracket, by a two-cocycle that generalizes the Virasoro two-cocycle. So the D's there are their vector fields, and so if we want to have actually a Virasoro-like algebra instead of a Witt-like algebra for those last two components, we should add a two-cocycle. So we define the full toroidal Lie algebra, G upper tau of the toroidal, to be exactly this extension of the extended affine toroidal Lie algebra. The cost, as I mentioned a moment ago, is that it's not an extended affine Lie algebra, for example, because it has no symmetric invariant bilinear form. So for some complex parameter mu, we can also just define the restriction of this down to the toroidal extended affine Lie algebra. So here, I'm saying that instead of using the cocycle tau, which is a particular nice cocycle to take, I'm taking some scalar multiple of it. So this is giving a one-parameter family of toroidal extended affine Lie algebras. So what we can do is take this universal enveloping vertex algebra, which is this induced module construct type construction, and then ask what is the simple quotient of this. And in the work of Uli Billig, he found that when we restrict this simple quotient down to just down to the extended affine Lie algebra, toroidal Lie algebra, you can actually write this simple quotient as a tensor product of several fairly well-known vertex algebras. And then using this information, he was able to construct nice irreducible modules for them by looking at irreducible modules of the various components. So he found exactly that this tensor product of these vector spaces here, or these vertex algebras, was an irreducible module for this extended affine toroidal Lie algebra. And so this first component here is just a high weight module for the affine Lie algebra associated with the finite Lie algebra G dot. And likewise, this LC1 is also a high weight module, irreducible highest weight module for the affine Lie algebra associated with the finite Lie algebra SLN. And that Vir C2 is a module for the Virasoro algebra. And the C1, C2, and C are the constants by which the central terms act. And the height sub n plus is a little more complicated to describe, but it's related to the lattice vertex algebras. So our construction that I'll describe today, this is all joint work with Uli Billig, involves taking this object here and then looking for the analogous objects when we twist when we look for fixed points, under some family of finite order automorphisms. So the wonderful fact that has recently been proven and in a paper in preparation by Allison, Behrman, Faulkner, and Pianzola is that almost all of the extended affine Lie algebras can be expressed in terms of fixed points of some toroidal Lie algebras under some finite family of finite order automorphisms of the toroidal Lie algebra. So what Uli Billig and I have been trying to do is to look at that in relation to this toroidal Lie algebra, toroidal vertex algebra modules and toroidal vertex algebra structures, and try to construct interesting modules for the extended affine Lie algebras by looking at some sort of fixed points of toroidal vertex algebras. So I want to talk a little bit about what this multi-loop algebra construction that was given by Allison, Behrman, Faulkner, and Pianzola says before we move back to the vertex algebra context. So multi-loop algebras are exactly the analogs of the loop algebra construction that I began this talk with. Namely, you start with some finite dimensional simple Lie algebra, some family, now instead of just one automorphism, now we have a family of capital N different automorphisms of finite orders. All of those MIs could well be one. Just for notational convenience, I'll call this finite abelian group G here. I'll just call it G. And then we take a decomposition of the finite dimensional simple Lie algebra into common eigenspaces for the automorphism sigma I. The multi-loop algebra is just defined as the fixed points of some extensions of these automorphisms to the toroidal loop algebra, in much the same manner as we saw in the finite case. The theorem that I mentioned a moment ago of Allison, Behrman, Faulkner, and Pianzola is that all of the extended affine Lie algebras, except for certain ones of type A that are over certain quantum tori, can be obtained by starting with one of these multi-loop algebras. A paper of Erhard Neher in 2004 explains exactly how to move from these multi-loop algebras up to the extended affine Lie algebra by adjoining appropriate derivations and central elements to them. Okay, I should point out very carefully, we have several algebras floating around here, so the notation that we're using for the multi-loop algebra is this L of G dot sigma 0 through sigma n. So you can notice that the G sub 0 bar tensor, the Romp polynomials, but now with only powers that are multiples of the periods of the various automorphisms. Actually, this toroidal loop algebra lives within this this multi-loop algebra, which in turn lives within this full multi-loop algebra. This is significant because, as we heard Georgia Bankart talk yesterday a bit about centroids, the centroid. The universal central extension of that Lie algebra can be in fact determined by its centroid, and the centroid is exactly this top piece up here. So this lets us define the appropriate analog of the full toroidal Lie algebra in the twisted setting. So you start out with this multi-loop algebra. You take the universal central extension, but the universal central extension now here is just determined by knowing what that centroid is up there. So it's a nice object to describe. And then you adjoin these skew centroidal derivations. Once again, our automorphisms extend to this toroidal extended affine Lie algebra and to its enveloping vertex algebra. The fixed point set is just going to be what this object here that we're interested in, this toroidal extended affine Lie algebra relative to those automorphisms. And we might expect that the representation theory might be related to a subvertex algebra of the full toroidal vertex algebra that just looks like the fixed points under these automorphisms. So these automorphisms are not only automorphisms of the finite Lie algebra, they extend to automorphisms of the loop algebra. Then when we require that they act trivially on certain central and derivation pieces, then they extend all the way up to the extended affine Lie algebra here and the associated full toroidal Lie algebra. So because the universal enveloping vertex algebra is done by an induced module type construction that looks like a universal enveloping algebra of a Lie algebra, these automorphisms actually have a natural action on the enveloping vertex algebra, and we can look for fixed points of this enveloping vertex algebra under the action of these automorphisms. The fixed points under there are, I denote V upper G, and this is called an orbifold vertex algebra. Finally, we'd like to find modules for the Lie algebra using ideas from the vertex algebra. So the first thing, naive thing to do, might be to say, well, we know that this sort of twisted toroidal Lie algebra lives within the twisted, or lives within the full toroidal Lie algebra. So we can just restrict these modules down to the smaller Lie algebra, and hopefully the irreducible modules stay irreducible. Unfortunately, they don't. So to describe irreducible modules, we use this idea of thin coverings of a module of a Lie algebra. So I will introduce this so that I can state our theorem. So what is a thin covering of a module for a graded Lie algebra? So this is just some set of subspaces for the module that span the module and respect the grading of the Lie algebra. And finally, the covering is thin if we can't make this any smaller. So this doesn't have to be a direct sum right here. It's just some sum of subspaces. In fact, if two of these spaces intersect non-trivially, then they're actually equal. So it's there's more to be for us to figure out about those. And using this idea of thin covering, we're able to give some irreducible modules for these twisted toroidal extended affine Lie algebras. So if you start with a twisted affine Lie algebra and look for a high weight an irreducible highest weight module for that twisted affine Lie algebra with some sort of thin covering, then we find that this space here can actually be given the structure of an irreducible module for the twisted toroidal extended affine Lie algebra. So this probably seems somewhat mysterious, but this piece here and this t to the k piece here are related to that piece that was called a height sub n plus in Yule-Billig's theorem for full toroidal Lie algebras that I stated earlier. And this is sort of a twisted version of that. And we can show that we actually get an irreducible module for the twisted toroidal extended affine Lie algebra by looking at this object here. Okay, and that's all. Okay.
So you need to support module for the twisted toroidal EAA.
Yeah, so
derivations on the whole derivation.
Oh, just skew derivations here, but you could, this should be fine with all derivations too. Yes. Pardon. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, if we wanted a module for the full twisted toroidal one, this